2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST to get 10% off each month of your subscription with us. With that, you get access to the Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and, of course, the Slack chat channel open 24/7, 365. Once again, folks, promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription at DFSArmy.com. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on the Twitter machine at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall over there as well at Boomers DFS Daddy. So before we begin, I have to give Extreme Enigma his shout out last night, since DeMar DeRozan did not get to 50 points. So congratulations for that. Who the hell knew DeMar DeRozan would have 13 points when the Raptors scored 131? But he wins that, and it's hysterical. So I give him the shout out, but I don't even know his real name. So is the shout out even worthy?
No.
Yeah, I get, like, it doesn't count, because anybody could be Extreme Enigma. Like, some guy listening down the side of the road can be like, I'm Extreme Enigma. And
I can change my name to Extreme Enigma. Oh, wait, true. I just did.
Oh! We giveth the shout-out, and then we taketh away. So, very interesting there. Yes,
new rule, if you want to shout-out on the pod, you have to actually, like, put your name behind it.
Okay.
We have no anonymous sources here on the Daily Dispatch.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to have to draw that up in the next terms of service on shout-outs. Who knew? I mean, we're getting so big that we got to have terms of service for the shout-out. But, yes, welcome in on this Friday here today. Payday for a lot of people out there, which is always fun. So, you know, we will certainly help you try to increase that bankroll today, as we always do. Before we begin, we had a question yesterday from our boy John Ting. He wanted us to talk about, I guess, why DeRozan kind of – faltered a little bit yesterday in terms of fantasy points. I think he did a fine job, but, we'll get into that in a little bit. And then, of course, with Kevin Durant being on that minutes limit, maybe why that was extended a little. So, any insights as to these two?
Okay. So the DeMar DeRozan thing, I can't insight because I did not watch the game. I obviously, with how little I was around yesterday, I was not available in Slack, and just I've got a sick kid and I wasn't feeling too good, so I plugged out yesterday.
Like, are you probable for tonight?
Oh no, there's no probable. There's no.
Oh, you're confirmed in.
I'm confirmed. I was confirmed at 7:30 this morning when I woke up.
That's good.
I am good to go. Like,
nice.
I am wired, fired, inspired, raring for action. So
I saw you you used the NyQuil last night. That is a damn good sleep aid, I gotta tell you. But don't become an addict with it. You just got, like, you take a little sip before bed, you'll be pretty good. I go with
I take the gel caps.
I go with the non-alcoholic version. Not the not like a beer NyQuil, but I use the Z-Quil that has like 40 Z's in it, and I just take a sip of that before bed, and I'm good to go the next day. So it's good.
There you go.
As far as
the Durant thing, okay, we found out that Durant was going to be on a quote-unquote minutes limit after lock. Then we found out that the trainers advised him not to do short stints like 5-5, 5-5, but to do longer stints, you know, to where – he could ease into it, get heated up, and then go, and then everything was fine. Now, technically, he was on a minutes limit. Now, minutes limits do not just mean anything like 20 minutes. It doesn't mean that a guy is going to be limited to just 20 minutes or 25. Okay? A minutes limit technically means anything less than what they normally average per game on the season. And barring Golden State running the opposing team out of the gym, where he only plays three quarters, you're going to see Kevin Durant play close to 37, 38 minutes. And in a game where they're losing or close, even it doesn't matter if Curry's on the floor or whatever, you're going to see Durant play 37, 38 minutes. Now, for him to only play just under 31 in a game where they ended up losing, I would say that would be a minutes limit. Okay. Now, here's the thing. When we had word of Curry against Memphis going to be on a 25 minutes limit, or they said, what was it, 20, between 20 and 25, I think was the official wording that we got. At close to 10K that he was, you could not play him. Like, I don't care who you are, how many lineups you run, what style of play you have.
What village you hail from.
Exactly. When a guy close to 10K is going to be, quote unquote, limited to 25 minutes, you cannot play him. Okay. The only way I can see you do is if you're maxing out a tournament to win a qualifier. Mm. Like, where it's a win or go home type scenario. Okay. And then, even then, you're not doing it like in a huge fashion. So, I just, for those of you that are like, oh, well, I don't care about Curry, that was the abnormality to the rule. Now, if we just say that his minutes are going to be quote unquote limited, which is the wording that we got on Durant, I'm looking at the Twitter or the tweet right now. It says Kevin Durant will have his minutes monitored and will be limited tonight. It says nothing about a quote unquote minutes limit, at least from the Golden State beat writer. So, there was nothing stating, at least from this guy, exactly how many minutes he was going to be limited to. The same guy came out and said that trainers advised not to, or Kerr not to put Durant in and choppy stints to let his leg get acclimated and warmed up. Mm. So.
Yeah, I can just tell on that that he's a doctor, you know.
Look, with Durant, if any of these guys that are over or approaching 10K are gonna play 30, then fine. I don't mind that. But if they're limited to 20, 25, I'm fine.
You know, what's hysterical is that, you know, went down and broke all that down. But, I mean, you just got to have to take a look at it from a simplistic perspective where you just say, you know, guys need to be out on the court to get fantasy points, you know. And if a guy's only playing 25 minutes at such a high price, I mean, like, what more is there?
Exactly.
All right, so with DeMar DeRozan, too, I wanted to add this in, too. I thought Toronto's offense was just fantastic last night. The ball movement was pristine. You know, DeMar DeRozan, yeah, he got off to a slow start, but that was individually. But the rest of the Raptors team was pretty good. I did see somebody mention yesterday that, oh, you know, Cleveland's going to, you know, probably key on DeMar DeRozan, and they did do that at times. I think that's the natural progression, but I just think that, you know, within the flow of the game, within the flow of the offense, I don't think anybody saw DeMar DeRozan peeling back that much, especially against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Shooting guards just absolutely torching that team this season. So, again, I will chalk that up as a misnomer, and I think he'll be fine in the future. Like, you know, we've seen this plenty of times before with DeRozan's numbers inflated without Kyle Lowry in the lineup. But, look, man, you could see it last night. This Toronto team is just very talented, and, you know, you kind of got the feeling last night that maybe things could be a little different in the Eastern Conference playoffs this season.
Oh,
but
my God.
Again, LeBron at playoff time is a different animal. But, hey, you know, if these guys are going to keep slacking on and on, you gotta wonder,
you do,
man.
Realize, you do realize, like, over the last 2 weeks what they've been doing, right? Yeah, I understand.
Slowing it down.
Like, no, well, no, not really just that. But I understand, look, like, you've got to understand – it's not just something that they're Yeah, they've allowed, what is it, 110 points in like four or five straight games, and I've got that. But they're incorporating Tristan Thompson after a long layoff. They're incorporating Isaiah Thomas after a long layoff. I mean, come on, man. This is like October again for them. You know, Isaiah Thomas isn't playing full complement of minutes yet. And I mean, yeah, their defense has been horrendous lately, but it's not like we ever accounted the Cavs for being a good defensive team to begin with.
Sure.
You know, J.R. Smith isn't the kind of defender. Amon Shumpert's not in the rotation right now. He's out. I mean, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love. I mean, they were I did watch, I think, the first quarter and a half, and Kevin Love just basically gave up on defense a couple of those possessions that I saw. But, like, they're incorporating new guys into the rotation after being out for extended periods of time or the whole season. I'm not really worried about it.
All right. Well, we will get to that situation a couple times in these positional breakdowns today, but that opening there was for you, the people. You wanted some questions answered. You wanted some shout-outs. You got it. All right, let's just get into the point guards right now on today's slate. A lot of talent here today. A lot of talent in the backcourt in general on today's slate. So let us get into it. At the point guard position, where do we begin?
I think you got to start with, unfortunately, the guy that I never like really going there. In fact, I kind of hate it. I don't know. I can't do it. I can't. I was going to, and I can't do it. I think you got to start with Damian Lillard.
Ooh.
Like, I just we know Curry's out, so we don't have to worry about that. Right. I don't, even in a great matchup, I can't play John Wall over 10K. Like, how many times have we seen this where he's going to be chalk, he's going to be in a great matchup, and that he just hasn't performed over 10K? He just doesn't do what a 10K point guard should do. Even in great matchups, he just doesn't do it. So why am I going to even try? I think he's great for cash games. Like, head-to-heads, 50-50s, tournaments, whatever you want to do. You can either do him or you can do Chris Paul. I think they're both great. I would probably take a little bit of the savings, you know, but you can't deny what Chris Paul is doing, and you can't deny the fact that John Wall's there. Now, I know what John Wall did against Utah, but, I mean, if he's going to be chalk, I need him to get to 55. And can he do it? Yes. But, you know, is he a guy that touches 55 regularly? Nah, not really.
What's interesting with Wall in that game against Utah, now, you know, we have Utah as, I believe it's the fourth best matchup on the adjusted DVP chart for point guards. So you've got that there. But the other thing, you know, with Utah, like, that's kind of an area that teams can pick on going against point guards. With Orlando, there's a lot of different wizards that can get in on the mix of this.
Exactly.
So that's the part that is unappealing with Wall. Sure, he's got the great matchup. He's got the pace up tempo here with Orlando, but there are a lot of different wizards that can get in on the mix. So, yeah, going with the most expensive option of all those is not all that appealing. We got some interesting news today. Gary Harris out for personal reasons. So Jamal Murray there at 6,800 going up against Memphis tonight. You know, certainly going to have an uptick in usage. I believe Donuts posted it in the NBA News and Notes channel. But I think Murray and Jokic are actually the biggest beneficiaries of Gary Harris being out of the lineup. So Murray's a guy that intrigues me. And then in another situational one, I love Rajon Rondo tonight against the Blazers, but I need word that Anthony Davis is out before I go there.
Wait, why do we love Rajon Rondo against the Blazers?
Because he's only 5,300 on FanDuel.
Okay. Good luck with that one.
I'll be just fine with it. In Rondo's last four meetings against the Blazers, he has at least 35 FanDuel points in all those. again, just if Anthony Davis is out of the lineup. And we've seen this scenario. We actually saw this exact scenario back on December 2nd. Rondo posted 35 fantasy points in 28 minutes in that game. Another game there where Anthony Davis was out of the lineup. So, again, I have no issue going back to Rondo. If AD's out, Rondo's my favorite point guard on the slate again.
I think I'd much rather bump up a little bit and go get Jeff Teague.
Who only played 28 minutes last game.
Right, but he's still under 6K, but he's going against New York, which is a better matchup. I don't know. You could make the same cases for everything that you just made about Rajon Rondo. You can make the same case for Ricky Rubio.
It's Ricky Rubio.
And that's what I say about Rajon Rondo. Neither one of them can shoot. They're both relying on other people to help them get their fantasy points.
Fair enough.
And Rondo or Rubio's $200 cheaper and technically a better ADVP matchup.
All right. The Brooklyn Nets are on the schedule, so of course people are going to want to pick on them. Schroeder's price is, you know, it's not terrible there at 7,400, but we always talk about, you know, his lack of upside in most cases. They're obviously the point guards are a good matchup against the Nets, pace up matchup for Atlanta and everything like that. Any interest here? Anything changed about your feelings on Schroeder?
Not really. He still doesn't have a ceiling. Dallas, he got that 48. Memphis, he got the 46. I mean, I don't mind it for tournaments, I guess. I just don't think that, it's really, 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 I just don't know if I'm going to go there. Cause it's so weirdly priced. Like he hasn't been doing that great yet. He's sitting there at 7,400. I think I'd much rather go to Eric Bledsoe against Golden State tonight at 77.
Okay. No Steph Curry there for the Warriors, so probably, you know, he'll probably – I guess he'll see that matchup with Livingston at the start, and then, I don't know, probably portions of maybe Iguodala, I guess. Maybe Klay at times. Yeah.
No, I think Klay's going to be on Middleton most of the game.
Okay.
And then Iggy's going to be – have Iggy and Draymond are gonna have to, or and Durant are gonna have to. I mean, it's weird. I, for whatever reason, the Milwaukee Bucks play the Golden State Warriors really, really well.
Keep in mind, remember what was that two seasons ago where Milwaukee went into Golden State and won, and you know they had like huge beef, and I think Milwaukee ended. Because remember when Golden State started out, what were they, like 20-22-0 or whatever, and then Milwaukee ended their streak?
Yeah.
So there is some history there between the teams. I assume we're going to see a good game here, especially with Curry. I think, you know, kind of makes it a little more competitive.
I've already said it, and we have it on record. I think Golden State loses tonight.
All right. Fair enough. And by the way, Golden State, tomorrow's game in Toronto is one of two Sherry Ma games on the slate, so... Again, that's for tomorrow, but just keep that in your back pocket for that day. Okay, let's see. All right. I think some people are going to have some interest here. The point guard situation for the Pacers tonight. So Darren Collison at 5,000 on FanDuel. You got Corey Joseph at 42 on FanDuel. I don't know. People might be trying to feel like Corey Joseph is tonight's Fred Van Fleet. Any thoughts here?
No. I can't play Corey Joseph. It's because honestly, really, Victor Oladipo could sit there and go and take all of this away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, no, Fred, no, there's too much. To like for you to talk me into Corey Joseph.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. I got no more point guards. You?
No, I'm good.
All right. All right. Well, let's go to shooting guards, and we'll start with Victor Oladipo, who you just mentioned. Want to mention this here. So two of the Pacers' last three games have been against teams on the back end of a back-to-back. Oladipo in two of these games. All right. So the first one was last weekend against Chicago. He puts up 54.5 on DK, 57.7 on FanDuel. And then on Wednesday, they took on the Miami Heat, who were on the back end of a back-to-back. Oladipo puts up nearly 45 on both of the sites there. There's a couple decimal points missing there. Again, a great matchup for shooting guards here. Oladipo is there. He is very expensive, but are you willing to go there, Keith?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, Tyreke Evans is $1,000 cheaper. Bradley Beal's $1,000 cheaper. Eric Gordon's $1,400 cheaper. I mean, I don't like a lot of the backcourt that's over 10K, to be completely honest. Like, like, right now, I mean, you've got, let's see here. And I know he's not over 10K, but anyways, let's just stick to shooting guards. Yeah, with Gary Harris out, I can't do that because you can go to Will Barton. Clay's back. You know, he's got a decent matchup. He's only 6,600. I think that's underpriced for Curry being out. Actually, wait, no, I take that back. That is not underpriced for Curry being out because he sucks without Curry. But, I mean, you've got CJ McCollum in a great matchup, Eric Gordon, Tyreke Evans. Heck, if you wanted to pay up, you could even go to Bradley Beal. Why do I need to go to Victor Oladipo?
All right. Another situation that I think is pretty interesting, we talked about it before we hit the record button today, but Ken Bazemore of the Hawks in a pace-up matchup against the Nets tonight, and the Hawks will be without Marco Bellinelli, DeAndre Bembry, so maybe, just maybe, we could see Kent Bazemore above 30 minutes finally. He's only 5,400 on FanDuel, so could be a nice discount to go to.
Yeah, if he gets above 30 minutes, he's going to smash value. Like, at least in my opinion, he will.
Yep. All right, let's talk about Devin Booker today because he's pretty interesting going up against the Houston Rockets. I think a lot of people are very excited about this. But, you know, kind of had to temper expectations. Now, I went back today and I looked at Booker's numbers over his career against the Houston Rockets, and they're not that great. Now, I understand that, you know, Booker, like his first couple games in the NBA, wasn't, you know, the stud that he is now. But, I mean, there's, you know, Houston's done a pretty good job against him. He has yet to score 50 points against them. He's never shot over 50% from the field against Houston. And there's a good chance that he could see Chris Paul, the Chris Paul matchup in this game. I went back and watched the previous meeting from the two teams this season, and it was interesting because they start, like, the first minute of the game, they put Harden on Booker, and then the second minute of the game, it goes to Chris Paul, and then it goes back to James Harden. So it wasn't necessarily like a straight Chris Paul on Devin Booker game, but now that, you know, Harden's out of the lineup, I really doubt that they're going to throw Eric Gordon at Booker. So this could be an all CP3 night on Booker.
Yeah, I'm not on Devin Booker at all.
And you got to think the masses are going to be on him as well, which kind of makes this fade even more appealing.
Yeah, I mean, this is a perfect spot to gain an edge. I mean, I would rather go to, you know, a Tyler Ulis, Isaiah Cannon, possibly, you know, TJ Warren, PJ, or not PJ Tucker, Josh Jackson. He's down.
Jackson,
okay,
I saw this. He gone.
You know, it's just.
I was very upset about.
It's just one of those things, like, a lot of people are going to see this total, and they're going to see Devin Booker and the usage, and they're going to blindly play. And I'm sitting there going, he's not going to do it. There's no way. It would have to be a double overtime game, and he'd have to play every single minute of both of the overtimes in order for him to, like, absolutely just kill me.
Yeah, what's interesting here about Devin Booker, and I think, you know, tonight's situation is going to be a little different, but, you know, you look at his last three matchups, at home against OKC, at San Antonio, at Denver, all three very tough matchups. But, you know, he maxed out in those three games at 30. You look at some other games here. He got a 51 against Atlanta, 41 against Philly, which is a very good matchup. Against Sacramento, a 36. But, I mean, we've seen Devin Booker be in the high 30s a lot. You know, that's kind of where he usually stays, you know, for as flashy of a shooter and as flashy of a player he is. But, you know, he's not a guy getting you blocks. He rarely gets steals. He doesn't do a lot of this other stuff. So, you know, you're just strictly relying on him to be a scorer. And in this matchup against Chris Paul, it's just not where I want to be. So I'm glad we're in agreement there. And I think a lot of the people in the Slack chat, you know, kind of have the same feelings with that today. So Army should do well just on that fact alone.
Oh, my God.
What's up?
Oh, my God.
Oh my God! You said "oh my God" twice. Must
I
be.
Did. Oh, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay.
Oh my God.
now three times. It must be really big. All right. So we talked about Gary Harris being out of the lineup for the Nuggets tonight. Will Barton? Look, the Harris's absence is not included in Barton's price today at $6,000 on FanDuel. Not sure what he is on DraftKings over there, but I mean, hey. Booker or Barton's got to be a good idea today, yeah?
Yeah, Barton, Jamal Murray are both pretty locked into their minutes. You know, we've seen this without – I mean, we've seen Barton go off with Gary Harris in the lineup. Now you take him out and, you know, it's a clear path to success for Barton tonight. Here's the question is, does Malik Beasley get, you know, into the – or Torrey Craig get yep. into the role enough, and if one of those guys gets hot, then we could or even Wilson Chandler for that matter. I mean, I think a lot of the guys that I want are – I think I want my top five guys being Jokic, Barton, Murray, Lyles, and Plumlee from the Denver Nuggets. But, you know, Barton and Murray – are, I mean, obviously Jokic, Barton, and Murray are your top three. It's really, really, really difficult because I don't know who's going to absorb those backup 2 minutes. Like, Barton, I'm assuming Barton's going to get the start unless they go with Murray. No, Barton would have to get the start.
I don't know. I mean, maybe since we're talking about Mike Malone here, maybe there's a chance that it's Craig or Beasley that gets the start. But again,
and
I still think
keep Barton on that bench role since he's doing so well. I mean, see that.
I still think Barton will get like 30 plus minutes, but it's possible that he just comes off the bench
right now.
All right, cool. All right, so we've got that. Let's see here. Andrew Wiggins against the Knicks. Chris Middleton against the Warriors, Donovan Mitchell against the Hornets. I don't really like that matchup against Batum, but I don't know. Any interest from some other guys that we really haven't discussed?
I mean, Donovan Mitchell's a guy that can shoot the ball, and if he gets hot, he's going to get hot. So I don't mind that in tournaments, but not my favorite play. I'm trying to sit here and think and look. I don't see a lot at the lower end of the spectrum. Once you get past like a Kent Bazemore type play, unless Tim Hardaway Jr. is back in the lineup tonight.
Yep, interesting. He could be. I think they said next game is more likely, but it is possible that he could be back today. 4,500 on FanDuel today, and
yeah.
I believe when they said upon his arrival he was going to be limited to 20 minutes, whenever that is. So there's that. And then don't forget, too, Caris LeVert, he dropped a little bit in price to 5,600. Pretty good matchup here against the Hawks. So Don't sleep on him either for GPPs. That's all I got.
Yep.
All right, cool. Let's get to the small forwards in this one. We got it locked and loaded at the top tonight. We got LeBron. We got Durant. We got Giannis. Who you got? And Jimmy Butler, too. Don't forget about him.
I mean, okay. I mean, it's hard. It's... I like Giannis and I like Durant a lot, but like, would they cannibalize each other? Like, both of these guys are long, lanky defenders, and I mean, if anyone can get over the other one, then it would be like these guys, but I mean, I don't know. It's hard. Like, with the way that Minnesota's playing right now, it's hard to not take the savings and just go with Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Giannis and Durant, they've got, like, in their situations, they're going to have the usage. I mean, LeBron, we know, is going to have the usage. I mean, I think they're all in play. Don't get me wrong. The question is what do we see the ceiling at for each one of these guys?
Honestly, I really love the idea of going with LeBron today. Number one, because of what he did last night. And then, you know, look, he better not be tired today, right? Because he didn't do shit last night. So let's have this anger game out of the way. Like, this is certainly a situation that he could do it. I think paying up to be contrarian is certainly a good idea here for LeBron. But you talked about it too with Jimmy Butler. I mean, I like that combo of both LeBron and Jimmy because, you know, number one, you've got LeBron and his guys just struggling so bad that, you know, again, you just kind of feel like the corner has to be turned at some point. Why not against the Pacers? But, again, with the Timberwolves, man, they are on fire right now. Like, they are playing so well. Jimmy Butler's just been having so many consistently good games. You know, it's a great matchup for him against the Knicks. I think that's a fantastic spot. So those are my two guys at the top of the tower. But it's going to be very hard to shy away from that usage of the Greek and Durant. So I get that. Now – let's not forget about some.
Here, let me ask you a question. All right. Because we're about to talk. We haven't gotten into a lot of value today. Right. But we're about to hit on a lot of value.
Yes. Okay.
At these next two positions. Can you play two? Can you pay up for both of them at this spot? Like, is it that feasible? Because you can save a little bit at point guard. You can save a little bit at shooting guard.
Sure.
And then you could pay up. Like.
I mean, yeah, you very well could, but again, like there's a lot of good value options here as well. You know, it's weird, like on a slate like this where it's very possible that, you know, like LeBron and KD could be the top raw point scorers on this slate. So, yeah, I can certainly see that with small forward, but I mean, we got to talk about like your boy Otto Porter, who you always talk about. You love him being in up tempo matchups. That's exactly what he's got tonight. Small forwards against Orlando
the other night too.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, I love that spot there for Otto Porter. We were talking about Devin Booker possibly getting locked down by Chris Paul. Well, that should open up a lot more room for T.J. Warren to do his thing. We know that Warren is a lot better player when Devin Booker is in the lineup as opposed to out of it. You know, which is not exactly the case for everybody, but you know, TJ Warren could certainly be that guy.
Yeah, it's if AD's out, you can go back to Etuan Moore. I told you he's still under 5K. He's gonna play 30 to 35 minutes, and he's gonna get you 30 fantasy points. I don't know if he's really got a ceiling, but he's definitely got the ability to put up some big numbers.
Hey, by the way, I just want to add on too. Darius Miller is also a guy on the Pelicans. He played 27 minutes last game, and he gets a huge uptick in minutes whenever AD is out. He's at min price, so don't sleep on him either.
I'll sleep on him because he doesn't look. I would rather play Dante Cunningham. At least Dante Cunningham has the real capability and shot of getting me close to 20 fantasy points.
Miller does too.
Really?
Yeah.
He played 26 minutes and got me 9.
Okay.
He played 25 and he's played 33 and got 13.
Hey. Babe Ruth didn't hit a homer every time at the plate, man.
Yeah, well, Darius Miller doesn't seem to want to play basketball either, so. No, I'm kidding. I just think it's a tougher matchup. Like, I don't want to go heavy with the Pelicans against the freaking Blazers. I mean, I understand the Blazers are on a road trip and they're probably a little bit more tired than what they normally have. They could be without Evan Turner, who's at least a capable defender, but that's going to at least open up more minutes for Mo Harkless. You still good have Alper Camino. You know, you still got Ed Davis. Like, these guys aren't going to – I would rather attack the Blazers' backcourt than I would the frontcourt, unless their name is DeMarcus Cousins.
Show enough. Let's not forget about the Houston Rockets options there at small forward tonight. You got Trevor Ariza. You got Gerald Green. Gerald Green in an up-tempo matchup. That's typically when we like him the most. So I certainly like that option tonight. How you feel? All right, now this is like a complete total punt, right? Like, we probably expect him to be below 1% owned, but you got to think that the Pacers are going to have Lance Stephenson out there for a lot more up against LeBron tonight.
Yeah, I was just looking at his name, and I think that's a great, great, great tournament play.
Yeah, I like that. You know, because, well, you know, they're not going to throw Bogey Bogdanovich out there at him.
They'll both play 30-plus minutes, I think.
Right.
But they can play Bogey at the four. Oh, my
God. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, but, well, Thad Young had his day in the sun last time. You know, he could even spend some time there on LeBron, too. Here's another, according to the ADVP chart, you know, I don't know how this has been happening, but small forwards against Charlotte have been a thing. So, again, another deep tournament punt, but possibly Joe Ingles in a good matchup there. Again, not my favorite, and I don't like him more than like a Gerald Green or Lance Stephenson, who we just talked about. But, again, if you're multi-entering, not a bad idea to throw in him.
Is Damari Carroll going to play?
Don't know. Obviously, this is questionable right now, so we shall see. But I believe he's dealing with the knee issue there. Did you just get your question answered?
Oh, no. I saw what the Golden State Warriors did.
Okay.
They called up Quinn Cook.
Can't be laughing about Quinn Cook when we're talking about Damari Carroll. Jeez.
Oh, I just know how many Patrick McCaw or Sean Livingston questions we're going to get, though.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I didn't even think about the Carroll injury to because Alan Crabb's getting up there in price now at 5,600. He's been at like 4,800 forever, and they finally just raised his price. So
yeah, but he hasn't shown the ability to pop off yet.
Like, well, at 4,800, he posted 2 30 plus games over the last two. So
I'm talking about popping off. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, wow, going for, you know, I'm talking about popping off. Like, I'm talking about 40 points.
Well, again, we're talking about Alan Crabb here, so.
He's had a couple 40-point games before.
Yeah, well, you know. Now we're, you know, again, at 5,600, it's not even a discussion. Not even thinking about it. All right, we all done small forwards?
Yep, fear the deer, my friend. Fear the deer.
Fear the deer. All right, power forward. I don't think we're giving away any state secrets here, but Dragan Bender at minimum price tonight on FanDuel. Probably going to be your chalk guy of the night without Marquise. Now, Marquise Chris, Josh Jackson probably going to be out. So probably going to see a lot of Bender tonight.
Yo, Kevin. Kevin, yo. Football geek. Here's your minutes up scenario. Oh my gosh. I this guy's gonna make or break the slate. Like, he's for everything that Domantas Sabonis and Bobby Portis were on Wednesday, Dragan Bender is tonight. Like, this is Dragan Bender, guys. Like, I understand he's young. I understand he's got a swagalicious looking profile pick. But you're chasing a ceiling game. Psst. Hello? Can we see this again? You're chasing a ceiling game. I'm out. Cash, yes, fine.
Out.
I am out.
Interesting, interesting. Now, he did play 29 minutes against OKC. In that last game, did end 39. Up there. What did I say? 39. I was, 10 minutes off. No big deal, right? So, yeah, he does score 20 real points in that game. I believe that's his high of the season.
It's his high of his career.
Right, but again,
and
this
Okay, so everybody needs to realize this. What happened? He got hot from beyond the arc. Like, he hit 6 threes.
Yes, but again, this is a talented player that is getting the opportunity now.
Right, but what I'm saying is, in tournaments, he is at his ownership. Can he get you 35?
I think it's certainly possible.
Possible. Is it likely?
The thing that you got to look at here is, right?
Ow.
Wait, whoa. They're playing Houston tonight, right? So we know that Bender can kind of, he's tall. He's kind of like a homeless man's Porzingis, but, he's gonna play more than like a Greg Monroe or like an Alex Len
matchup. Think about this reasonably. Look at the ADVP matchup and think about this. Okay.
Yeah, against Ryan Anderson.
He's going to have to hit 35 minimum for me to be hurt in tournaments.
All right, and I think he's certainly capable of it.
I don't. I'm not. I'm not chasing a ceiling game in tournaments.
Fair enough. Like, and it's a ceiling game because he played 39 minutes. Like I don't. 39.
It's a ceiling
game
because he got hot in the third quarter from beyond the arc.
But again, too, the injuries for the Suns are what would make his
you
minutes
don't think
outlook.
That they're gonna throw out, you don't think that they can throw out Jared Dudley for 25 minutes?
Ugh, gross. Gross.
I never said it was pretty.
Good. Because then I question your sanity. Or how much of that NyQuil you drank last night.
You
all
don't
right, hold
think
up.
That they can't do that. You don't think that they can sit there and they can throw out Troy Daniels and go small. You don't think that they can sit out there and throw out Alex Len and Tyson Chandler. Like, there's a lot of different ways that they could go. I don't think that Dragan Bender – for cash games, play him. Absolutely 100%. Lock the dude in and go and just figure out the rest. Okay. He's min price. He's going to be projected around 35 minutes. At least that's what he's projected at right now. I understand every reasoning behind it in cash. Why in the world would I want to chase a ceiling game in tournaments at that ownership?
Yeah, I feel the way that you're looking at ceiling game is that, great game by Bender, right? Fantastic. But again, the minutes for him are appealing. Like, you're talking about, like, you really want to play, like, if you're the Suns, you really want to play Jared Dudley over Dragan Bender? Because I sure as hell don't.
I'm not saying that I want to, but
Jared Dudley should be in the big three, right? Like, he shouldn't even be in the NBA.
I'm not gonna disagree with you on that. But I'm saying, like, from a pure DFS perspective, like, I'm a Dragan Bender fan. Like, I recommended Dragan
Bender. Yeah, I couldn't tell.
I've recommended Dragan Bender. Like, I've been just absolutely loving wanting this guy to get minutes. But you're talking about a guy now that is going to absolutely just be horrifically overowned. And in tournaments, like, I you know me and my feelings of the word blocking in DFS.
Sure.
I hate the word. Like, why do I need to block somebody? You know, if I feel he's a good play, then he's a good play. If I feel he's a bad play, then he's a bad play. I don't have any interest in like, I'm going to be severely underweight of the field in tournaments to Dragon Bender.
All right. No more Bender. All right. What appeals to you more at the power forward position this evening?
Well, let's see here. How did that just happen? Okay, there it goes. I don't mind going back to the one to Modest Sabonis.
All right, we are in agreement here.
Do we have word on Derek Favors yet?
Probable.
Okay.
But, you know, this season, that doesn't mean shit. Let's talk about Sabonis. Let's talk about Sabonis real quick, because I find him very interesting, especially, you know, with the Cavs defense on full display in front of the two countries last night. You know, again, like, I'm not worried about Sabonis. That price sucks, but I think that's what's appealing here, is that nobody's going to go to that, especially after Sabonis being that massive chalk last game and completely just underwhelming all the owners. You know, I think he's certainly capable of, you know, having a nice night at very low ownership. We've talked about Sabonis in the past, and, yeah, hell, the last time that we did the podcast, we talked about him not being such a high ceiling guy. So is it the matchup against the Cavs to you that's more appealing, or just paying up to be contrarian here?
I kind of feel like he's I like Sabonis.
I like Sabonis. As we say around here, Keith has a Saboner. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
That happened.
I also don't mind going back to Trey Lyles.
Absolutely.
You could even go Ersan Ilyasova. I mean, there's a lot to like. Ryan Anderson is even in play.
Now, he's going into a purple-orange scheme tonight.
Oh, my God. Can we stop with the colorblind?
It's real, man.
It is not real.
It is real. He admitted it's real.
You better throw that out there, because I've also seen him say that he's not colorblind.
All right. Fair enough. Somebody said it to me. We'll find this article. We will get it. I think purple orange is okay for his eyesight. It's not red. I think he'll be just fine. Here's an interesting one for you. If Anthony Davis plays, I really like Al-Farouq Aminu.
I like Al-Farouq Aminu either way.
5,000 on FanDuel. Always a good thing. But again, you know, we talk about this a lot with teams, you know, needing their bigs going up against, you know, teams with very talented front courts. And I just feel like, again, if you're going to have AD and Boogie in there, Aminu's going to be needed a great deal in that game. So, and again, too, it's not like it's a horrible matchup going up against these New Orleans Pelicans. Their rebounding numbers are shit this year. But, you know, it really has not been a problem for opposing front courts to go against this Pelicans team at all.
Yeah, here's an interesting one. And I agree with you 100%. Here's an interesting one, though.
Uh-huh.
I want some of this Washington-Orlando game.
Okay, I think I see where you're going.
Like, I don't know where I want to go. I want to go Markieff Morris. He's 5K. He's going to play 25 minutes. He can go for 35.
Fantastic matchup against Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, but I'm also sitting here looking at Mike Scott.
Oh, my. Mikey. Speaking of Aaron Gordon, only 7,100 today on FanDuel.
Yeah, I can pay that. I'd rather pay that than the 87 that they were trying to get us pay a week ago.
Yep. I knew I can get some interest on you there with that one. How about you were the Thad Young whisperer on Wednesday? Do you hear any voices once again?
No.
Okay.
Because I honestly think this is a Lance Stephenson, Victor Oladipo type, and Domantas Sabonis type situation.
By the way, where did those voices come from on Thad Young the other day? Because he sucked all the way up until that point.
If I gave you all my secrets, then there would be no need for me.
What a dick. All right. Speaking of needing bigs tonight, could you have any interest in Taj Gibson?
I mean, yeah, for cash, I think there's always an interest in Taj Gibson. But the problem is, I mean, does he really have a ceiling for tournaments?
The 57 is appealing. But it's kind of the same thing with Trey Lyles, right? Like, you know, we know where he's going to be. I feel like Taj Gibson's kind of in that same boat, a little cheaper than Lyles.
Yeah, but I feel like Trey Lyles at least has the ability to touch a ceiling. Like, you know, a 43-point game for Trey. Like, he's shown that recently. Like, I think if you've got a $400 gap and you're sitting there, you can take Gibson for cash and Lyles for tournaments. I mean, they're both going to play a ton of minutes. They're both going to be there about 35 to 40 or 33 to 40 fantasy points. I just think that if, like, the likelihood of going over 40, I think it lies more within Taj Gibson or Trey Lyles than Taj Gibson.
Yeah, I'm certainly not denying that at all. But, again, you know, a little cheaper than Lyles. And, again, Lyles more often than not is, you know, like you're right at that 5X line kind of guy. How about both power forwards in this Brooklyn-Atlanta game? I think Ersan Ilyasova is kind of interesting here today. So we know that the Hawks have an injury at the shooting guard and at the small forward position. Maybe we see a little more Ilyasova at the three, but I feel it's even more interesting since Torian Prince has a friggin' dislocated finger. I don't see him being all that effective, and maybe Ilyasova steps in for more time. What do you think?
Yeah, I've got Ilyasova at 2,800 minutes. Wow.
That's a lot. That's a record this season.
What was it? What did I just have? I just
maybe
had
8 had him at?
Yeah, but I ran the model again because some of this news, it didn't have, like, the DS doesn't have an into effect Curry and stuff like that. So I have him at 29 minutes right now.
Okay. And by the way, I just want to say that's been where he's at typically over the last, it looks like 6-7 games, like just under 30 minutes. But hopefully we can get him to, like, pop up a little more over that.
Right, but that's with Torian Prince in. Now, you got to think of it this way. Torian Prince dislocated his finger against the Lakers. You following me on this?
I am following you. There were two games after that. Yep.
Yeah. The next night, he comes back against the Clippers and scores 20 points.
I'm not saying the guy's not a quick healer, but it's still a dislocated finger.
I get that, but okay, somebody's got to answer me this: on the shooting hand or the non-shooting hand?
That, you know, yeah, I'm not that good of a doctor. I can play one on TV, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So fair enough. All right. I guess going back with it there. Then Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Any interest there for tournaments?
If DeMar Carroll's out.
Gotcha.
Then yeah, probably.
Okay.
If not, then no.
By the way, RHJ last two games, 47 on FanDuel, 35 on FanDuel in the last two. Just want to throw that out there. Okay. I think we've done enough here at the Power Forward, eh? Yeah?
Yep.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. All right, let's close it off with some centers in this son bitch. Man. not all that appealing today. So what's at the top for you?
I mean, you got to start off with Boogie, right?
Yep.
Get down. Now, get down.
It is a very tough matchup. Oh, my goodness. It's a very tough matchup here going against Portland. So there is that. And then, of course, you know, the whole Anthony Davis injury news and whatnot. So, again, you're going to have to, you know, keep an eye out for all that and see what's going on. I don't think you just throw Boogie out there blindly against Portland.
You know people are going to.
I'm not one of those folks.
One of the most popular combos is going to be Dragon Bender Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, people will have the money for it, but, you know, no need for me. Let's see here. A guy that's been very popular, I've heard him a couple times already in the Slack chat channel, but Dwayne Dedman of the Hawks. Now, I think a lot of people are just, oh, yep, we need to take the center after Andre Drummond put up a Barbara Walters on us the other day. Hold the phone, my friends. Atlanta, very healthy in their front court.
He's going to play 22 minutes.
Right. They have, you know, a lot of bodies in there right now. It's not going to be the Dwayne Dedman show. I know he returned two games ago. I know he didn't start the first one back. He didn't start last game, right?
No.
Right. I mean, not that it matters. 22 minutes is 22 minutes. But I understand the appeal there at 4,900. But the fact that the Atlanta front court is fully healthy is just something that I am not willing to deal with at this point. You've got Clint Capella there against the Phoenix Suns. Kevin Love possibly rebounding here against the Indiana Pacers. Maybe even a Yusuf Nurkic going back at Boogie on that one. I like that one. There's a need there for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you could even go with, you know, Tyson Chandler or Alex Lunn. You know, Karl Anthony Towns, I know he didn't do what we said he was going to do against Oklahoma City, but that's honestly because they were blowing him out.
Yep.
Also
wanted to mention, too, because I have an interesting note here on Mr. Karl Anthony Towns. So, his price has gone all the way down to 9,100 on FanDuel, which I feel is the most appealing thing. Going up against the Knicks, it's not a great matchup. They are one of the best rebounding teams in the NBA this season, but a little bit of narrative here with Towns. He's a huge Knicks fan growing up, grew up in nearby New Jersey, but he does have three blocks in each of his last three games against the Knicks, and then last season against the Knicks. Now, again, albeit without Enes Kanter in the mix, he did have a 47-point, 18-rebound game against them last year. To me, the most appealing thing here is, you know, the price certainly on Karl Anthony Towns. But you look at two teams going in very, very much different directions right now. And, you know, I think that this should set up very nicely for Karl Anthony Towns this evening.
Yeah, I agree. I also don't mind it. It's going to depend on what the situation of Derek Favors is, but Ekpe Udoh, if he's out of lineup again, he's basically a plug and play. Like, every single time that we've told you to play Ekpe, he goes for 40.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and you got to look at that too.
That was against Cleveland.
And Washington.
And Washington.
Yep. Now, granted, this matchup against Charlotte isn't all that great, but Udo's price tag is pretty great. And again, you know, Utah really does not have any other bigs that they can possibly throw at Dwight Howard. So, again, a huge need there for Utah to use him if Derek Favors is out tonight. Another guy that really intrigues me, and this has been a matchup that has shown to be very valuable here of late, but Bismack Biyombo against the Washington Wizards. Wizards have been brutal against the center position lately, and Biyombo's only 5,500 on FanDuel. I do have some interest there. We know Biyombo, not a real scoring threat, but he certainly gets it done in a number of different ways.
Yeah, sure.
Did not get the excitement on that one I was looking for.
I just figured something out, and then the price just really made me mad about it.
What's that?
This is how good FanDuel is.
Oh, with Udo?
No. Well, yeah. That's one. But Greg Monroe is 5,400.
Whoa.
You do realize that Greg Monroe, it's Greg Monroe on back-to-backs.
Greg Monroe on back-to-backs.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler usually has sat on back end of back-to-backs lately.
Okay.
So here's the deal, okay? Since he came to Phoenix, the 29th against Detroit, he played 25 minutes, scored 32 fantasy points, okay? That was – these are all second days of back end of back-to-backs, okay?
All right, hold on, wait. Do you – Phoenix isn't on the back end of a back-to-back. In fact,
you're right.
They had 4 days off before today's game.
Then
four.
I was misinformed by somebody.
All good.
I misread what I was being told.
All right.
Sorry.
Hey now. You mentioned Alex Len before. I didn't even realize that he was $3,700. So
yes, his price has gone down as the other one, Tyson Chandler, has gone up. But his minutes have gone down too. So he is a very, very, very risky option. But with that said, you've got Marquise Chris, Josh Jackson, doubtful. Jargon Bender's been playing a lot of those 5 minutes now. Those backup 5 minutes and power forwards and like all these other things. So, it's just something that's gonna have to kind of, it's very, very risky. Very, very, very risky.
I also like to live dangerously. Jeez, man. Any other odd? What about Dwight Howard? What's pretty interesting with Utah this season, they have been terrible. They're like a bottom five team in the NBA at rebounding this season. Most of that due to the fact that Rudy Gobert can't stay healthy. But, you know, we talked about the rebound and mismatch of the Hornets against the Mavericks on Wednesday, and Howard did really well. Any interest there? I know he's expensive, but...
He's not that expensive, though. $8,800?
Yeah.
I mean...
And he ain't cheap.
No, he's not cheap. I mean, I'd rather play Yusuf Nurkic, but that matchup scares me.
Actually, you know what's pretty interesting? I forgot. I was reading an article last night about Dwight Howard, and those free throw woes have been popping back up again. So, you know, they were saying, oh, you know, like, yeah, how the Hornets going to deal with this. So I was wondering – I completely forgot to talk about him in the power forwards, but, you know, I was wondering if maybe, like, Kaminsky would see any extra minutes because of that. But I don't know that, you know, tonight's the night. I think it's something interesting to watch going forward with the Hack of Howard thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right. We all good?
Yep, all good.
All good. All right. You like what you heard? You want to join us all day, all night? You can do so. Go to DFSArmy.com. Use that promo code podcast for 10% off each month of your subscription. You can get access to our Domination Station, VIP articles and tools for GVP lineups, and chatting with us there on the Slack chat channel. Always having a good time. Glad to see we've got a lot of new members here. Excited to see that as always. So good to see that. Any big plans for the weekend?
Get the family healthy.
Yeah, all right.
It's my mother-in-law's birthday tomorrow, so...
Oh, well, happy birthday, mother-in-law.
We've got dinner, and then... So just in case, you do know what Monday is, right?
Monday is Martin Luther King Day.
And you do know what Monday is, right?
Basketball all day.
Yes, so just so everybody knows, if my... wife's office is closed. She will be taking my son to Oklahoma City for a shopping trip with a friend. And so there will be content. There will be DS. All that stuff will be normal. There might not be notes because I'll be basically combining multiple days into one day, trying to get everything out and keep everything up to date. But you're good to go.
Yeah, I will have written content out there. Don't worry, people. I am a man for the people. So, yes, we've got that. All right, me, Keith, rest of the DFS Army. We gone. Have a nice weekend, folks.
Peace out.